Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, it is sex therapy time again, and our resident sex and relationship expert, Rachel Cook, is back.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
And as always, especially this week, a little ears warning for this segment. And this one might even be an awkward one, even if you're listening with another adult. But, you know, it's a sensitive topic. Because fingering is back. It is back with a bang. Pardon the pun, and we need to talk about it. And no better woman than Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Good morning, Jen. We're on about finger banging. I can't wait.
I knew you'd be excited about this. I knew as soon as the kids go back, I said this woman is going to come back with something that's going to get me into a lot of trouble. But we need to talk about it. And I just want to say to people, if you are about to switch over, don't worry, you can catch this chat with Rachel always on our podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Now, okay, so I always like to start with the basics. Can you tell me, Rachel, because I'm really unfamiliar with it myself. What is fingering?
Oh, Jesus.
You there?
I'm still here. I'm here.
What
I'm
is
here.
It?
Go on,
talk about fingering. What is it? Go on. Explain
go
it
on.
In layman's terms.
Is using your fingers and hands to pleasure someone with a vagina. That's all it is.
Okay. And is fingering a thing mostly, is it not, you know, teenagers do before they have penetrative sex? Is that it?
Yeah. So this is a really, like, I really hate that this is still, I kind of get it. You know, it's like the sexual bases that we'll have seen in films. You know, it's kind of like kissing is base one, touching boobs, or sometimes fingering and hand jobs is seen as second base. And then third base is either, well, depending on who you ask, will be seen as fingering, hand jobs, or sometimes oral. But then it's because we see penetrative sex, specifically penis and vagina sex, as being this kind of home run. We've absolutely learned this from the media. You know, most of us can't even remember sex scenes in films or on TV that don't result in some sort of penetrative sex.
Yeah.
And I think there's way more LGBTQ plus representation now. And of course, there is some porn that isn't all about penetration, but I think most of it still is. So, you know, and also sex advice, you know, is often about positions during penetrative sex. Everything else is called foreplay. Sex education in schools is still very much about and around penetrative sex, you know, using contraception, condoms, STIs, this sort of stuff. So, you know, I get that it feels exciting because it's new for people who are younger to be thinking about having penetrative sex, but it sets up this strong expectation that penis and vagina sex is the main event. And I really think that this is the year that fingering is set to have a comeback. I'm really passionate about this.
You're making it happen. You are making it happen just by talking about it. So you think fingering is misrepresented, or it's not getting enough visibility in media and mainstream?
Not at all, you know. And this is the thing, like when done well, fingering is hugely important for female pleasure and orgasm. We have known for over 40 years now that 80% of women and people with vaginas can't experience orgasm from penetration alone, and actually often prefer other kinds of sex. So this is where sort of top-notch fingering skills really come in. You know, knowing how to finger whatever your gender will make you very popular in bed. Fingers are a great tool for creating the kind of rhythm and often quite, you know, nuanced stimulation needed to really pleasure a vulva and give people mind-blowing orgasms. And basically, the raw materials are brilliant. Fingers are nimble, they're agile, they're strong. Fingertips have loads of different nerve endings, which means that you can be very receptive to a partner's kind of rhythms and cues with their body. But you need to know how to do it right, because a lot of people are doing it very, very wrong. And I've had countless women tell me that since they started having penetrative sex with men, fingering has been relocated to the sidelines of their sex life. You know, that fingering is very much this kind of warm up, basically barely more than a poke to see if the person's wet or not, like an oil check on a car, which just can't be happening. We've got to have a lot more chat about this and people getting into it.
You kind of touched on it there, but why do you think it's important to decenter penis penetration?
Well, look, we've known for nearly 70 years, thanks to Alfred Kinsey mostly, that men and women can actually have orgasms in about the same amount of time if they're having sex by themselves, i.e. masturbating rather than with each other. But that in partnered sex between people with penises and people with vaginas, people with penises come far more often and far more quickly. And that's because penis and vagina sex is often more stimulating for a penis than it is for a vagina or clitoris. Penetrative sex is seen as the default or normal. And if there's one thing that a lot of people want to be, it's normal. And that's, you know, that's because we've seen what happens to people when they're not seen as normal, you know, and the kind of bullying and stigma that happens when you're seen as abnormal. So it makes sense that we want to do what is seen as being the right sort of thing. But penis-centered sex is when a man's orgasm signifies the end of sex a lot of the time, you know. So when a man ejaculates, that's when the sex is over, when penetration is seen as the main event, not because it's what the other person enjoys the most, but because it's what the man is after. And I think this is exactly why, you know, centering the penis in sex is why particularly straight women find it very hard to get men to go down on them. And why fingering is very much seen as being this kind of thing, like a teenage fumbling sort of thing. You know, then we know facts like 1 in 10 young women regularly have painful penetrative sex. Around half of people of all genders have some kind of sexual problem, often to do with pain during penetration, or for some people it's difficulty staying hard if they have a penis, and that 1 in 10 of us are distressed about our sex lives at any time. So, you know, I really think that, you know, we've really been caught in this idea that blowjobs are foreplay, penetration is sex, wham bam, job done kind of pipeline, and so a lot of attention ends up on the penis. And then we also find, I've had a lot of conversations with people with penises who've told me that they don't even like penetrative sex that much. It's not their favourite thing. They wish there wasn't so much of a focus on it. So these are all good reasons to decenter it.
Amazing. OK, so what kind of people are best at fingering and the worst?
Oh, the best ones are people who are genuinely interested in their partner's pleasure, people who are very good at listening and taking direction, who don't get defensive if someone says, oh, could you actually do this instead? That's a big one. Having good awareness of people's body language. You know, every person is going to be different and you're not expected to be a mind reader. But being able to be aware of things like if someone kind of gasps or moans in a way that seems like pleasurable rather than that they're in pain, that you know how to respond to that, and that if you don't know, that you ask. And usually people with vulvas themselves are going to be better at fingering because they know how to finger themselves, which is not to say that everyone wants to be fingered the same, but often they'll have a better sense, because I find that it's very common that men will finger women as if they're kind of having penetrative sex with their penis, but they're just using their fingers instead. And that doesn't tend to work very well. Sometimes people want you to work up to that as a kind of technique, in terms of like really going for it, kind of in and out with your fingers, but usually a lot more kind of nuanced kind of touch around the clit and labia is what people are after. So those are the kinds of people who are going to be best are the ones who are good at communicating and are genuinely care about the other person's pleasure.
How can you develop really good fingering technique?
Oh, there's loads of ways, but one is, okay, so well, lowering your defensiveness I mentioned there. So if someone like very much being able to chat about with the other person, it doesn't have to be in the moment. You can talk about it beforehand. Ideally, you would do both to be able to learn more about the other person's body. Doing like obvious things like keeping your fingernails short and clean so that you can reduce the risk of infection. Some people just really, you know, you can't be going in there with ragged nails. You're just going to tear someone up, which is absolutely awful. And sometimes you can't feel it at the time, and then the person's just going to have horrific thrush or bacterial vaginosis afterwards because of the introduction of bacteria. Anyway, always losing lube. I would say witness the wetness. The more slippery, the more satisfying the touch will be. Discard the idea that natural lubrication is enough. You're going to need loads and loads of lube because your body can be impacted by hydration, hormones, medication, stress. So whatever the technique you're using, I recommend always using lube during fingering. You know, the tissues of the vulva are sensitive and it's easy to start feeling rubbed raw. So that's a big one, is definitely using lube. I would say, what else have we got? Starting slowly. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You know, vulvas generally respond well to stimulation that's sensual and slow. It generally takes an average of about 15 minutes of stimulation for someone with a vulva to reach orgasm. So don't launch straight in there by going straight for the clit. Start very slow and gentle and steadily increase the speed and intensity. That's something that you can do. Also, don't focus again on penetration. You know, you can kind of see the clitoris as a type of bullseye. which is, you know, above the vagina, above the vaginal opening. So you can start by kind of stroking the outer edges of the area, that might be even the person's kind of thighs and lower stomach, and then moving in closer over time. So there's loads of ways. I mean, God, I could go on all day about how to finger, but there's also lots of resources out there. But I would say, you know, really what you want to do is be all ears. As things heat up, it's important to tune into your partner's bodily response, the directions that they give and any sounds that they make. And you're probably going to be on your way there, but you're probably going to have quite a few chats about it. So just know that and accept that. And also that successful fingering generally comes down to persistent and rhythmic stimulation. You know, so if the pace and pressure are working, make sure you keep going unless your partner asks for something different. And then you might also want a helping hand. Maybe you want to work with a clitoral vibrator, you know, begin with a low setting and speed. And then you might want to kind of ramp that up a bit. But not all people like any kind of penetration during finger play. So again, don't assume that they want you to penetrate them with their fingers. So that's another
one. Okay. Well, just on the lube note, I think we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with solo tips and anal. Don't go anywhere. RTE. Good morning, everyone. We are in sex therapy. If you've just tuned in, and this is a little ears warning, this chat is not for little ears or anybody of a sensitive nature. I'm here with Rachel Cook. Rachel, are you there?
I'm back. I'm
there. There you are. There you are. Okay. Now, before the break, you were given some great tips with regards to fingering. If you want to be good at it, such as lube and do it slow, and you can use maybe an extra bit of help with a tool or a toy. But I want to talk about solo tips. What would you say for anybody who's looking to be a master of solo fingering?
Oh, I mean, just take some time and to try out different things. I would say, you know, on one hand, a lot of this can be about simplicity. You don't actually have to be, you know, you don't have to like have athletic fingers. Like you don't have to do gymnastics or acrobatics here. Often it's not that complicated as to what you're going to enjoy, but you're probably going to need to try a good few different things. And so some of us, especially when masturbating, will kind of find something that works and stick to that. And that's absolutely fine if you're happy with that. But there's the potential to start to get, you know, really find different levels of pleasure and ways of enjoying yourself by trying out a few different techniques of, like, you know, sometimes maybe only focusing on the vulva and no penetration into your vagina. It might be at times using toys as well, or using, you know, a kind of double penetration where you're including some anal stuff as well. And so there's loads of ways. Basically, I would say also, like, get some resources. It could be like watching, you know, porn or kind of instructional stuff that is very much about giving you ideas, just because maybe you're not that imaginative in terms of like circles or, you know, creating different shapes or using different textures and enjoying it in that way. So, you know, or you might like to do it with while you're listening to audio porn at the same time, or maybe you're more into visual video stuff, maybe you like reading erotica, you know, and you can do that at the same time, or that can help with fantasies. So I would say just be creative and create some, you know, space and time for yourself to try out some different things and see how it goes. You know, some people really like masturbating in the bath. Some people prefer to be, you know, lying on the ground or rubbing themselves like against kind of like a bed or, I don't know, a piece of furniture or something. But yeah, so get creative, basically.
Okay, speaking of being creative, let's talk anal fingering.
Woo, let's do it.
Go on, tell us about it.
Well, in terms of anal, so, you know, this is not only about, you know, this can be for people of all genders, whether they have a penis or not. But basically people with penises, you know, often have the added bonus of a prostate massage. So we've been mostly focusing on people with vulvas here in this chat today. But for people of all genders, you know, there's lots of ways that anal play can be really amazing for people, thanks to all of the sensitive nerves in that area. For people with vulvas, you can potentially stimulate your supposed G-spot from inside your anus as well. And it can also be a very good way to warm up if you are potentially wanting to have, you know, anal sex. That can be a great one too.
Okay.
And so, yeah, a lot of people are a bit sort of squicked out by it to begin with, and then are generally very pleasantly surprised that it is nowhere near as messy or painful as long as you use lube, take time to kind of prepare and go slow, go very slow. And whether it's, you know, if you're on your own, you know, just sort of, you know, be very aware of, you know, the kind of speed and the types of things that you're doing to see like what feels pleasurable. And if you're with someone else, very much have, you know, be sure that you have the communication in place so that if at any point it becomes uncomfortable, that you can say, stop the lights right away.
Communication and lube, two key things.
Communication and lube. That's all you need to know.
Exactly. I got a couple of messages in. I want to read out to you. It says, hi, Jen and Rachel. I love the show and I'm amazed how much I learn every week. I'm able to masturbate to orgasm pretty easily, but I struggle to get there with my partner touching me or even touching myself when I'm with them. Why could this be and what can I do?
This is a very, very common one that people will find that it's really easy to orgasm alone and then they have trouble doing that with a partner, which sometimes can be to do with the fact that the other person just doesn't have the technique that that person's into. So I would say chat about that, try out some different things together. And it can also just be a kind of self-consciousness that even if you trust and, you know, are sort of generally pretty comfortable with the other person, for some of us, it's a huge turn on and it makes it easier to come from being like having someone else there watching us, and that just, you know, feels like a kind of added element. And for some of us, that makes us kind of maybe shy or embarrassed. And so I would say just kind of working out like what's happening for you in the moment. Is it that you start to feel, you know, kind of a bit vulnerable, it might be, or do you start to feel like not so present because you feel like you have to perform for the other person? Is it maybe that you've had experiences in the past where someone was quite like dismissive or didn't listen to you, or maybe even that they said something, you know, kind of like nasty to you, and that might be kind of playing on your mind, even if it was a very long time ago, that you might have kind of gotten a fright then. So anything like that can be good to just like think about, reflect on, chat about, and then probably just to do it a few more times in a situation that feels as kind of comfortable and open as possible, because sometimes it's purely a familiarity thing where you just need to kind of keep at it within reason. And, you know, hopefully then you'll find it much easier to come with them, you know, watching you or there beside you, and also with them doing it for you.
Okay. Somebody texts me saying my husband wants me to do it to him and I can't cope. What should I do?
Well, work out what you mean when you say you can't cope. I mean, again, a lot of us are just very, you know, particularly in Ireland, you know, that I'm, you know, in London a lot and in the UK. And also I find for some reason I find that people are way less worried about bum stuff than in Ireland, which is funny. And I don't know exactly why that is, but I find there's just a particular kind of ick about it in Ireland. And then I would also say that people seem to really take to it once they've kind of gotten past that, you know, like initial fear of it being painful or messy or uncomfortable or embarrassing, or, you know, just sort of a fear that, you know, there's even just a lot of myths around it, like that if someone with a penis, you know, wants to be fingered, that means that they are gay. And it's like, well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being gay, but also it's nothing to do with your sexuality. You know, these are parts of the body that have different nerve endings and different ways of experiencing pleasure. And okay, you're not obligated to do anything that you really don't want to do, but I think it's absolutely worth questioning what you mean when you say you can't cope, because it is, you know, that there could be lots of reasons for that. And that could be a very good one to talk to your partner about, because it's very possible that you could set things up so that you would just feel a lot more comfortable and have a great time, and so would he.
Absolutely. Last one in from a listener. Could you ask Rachel how I can tell my partner that I can't orgasm from penetrative sex? And I actually find it pretty boring. My boyfriend isn't bad in bed. I just don't like penetration that much.
Yes. Yeah,
is so this common?
Is again, more and more people are recognizing that because of mainstream porn and, you know, the media and movies and all of that, that we have been brainwashed into believing that penetrative sex is the be all and end all, and that if you don't really like it or want to have it that often, that there must be something wrong with you. And more people are just recognizing that there are lots of other ways to have fun. And sometimes just the physical and emotional toll of penetrative sex for people of any gender can just feel like a lot, that even if you really enjoy having it, it might be something that you don't want to do that often, just because you find that it takes like kind of recovery time, and that's not so much about how vigorous or physical you're being during it, but just that it kind of takes this kind of toll. Whereas for other people, you know, the more the better, and they just have very kind of robust bodies and it doesn't tend to sort of emotionally impact them, or it does in a very positive way where it doesn't tire them out. So, you know, just again, being sort of aware of that and being able to, you know, I would say you kind of have to dive in. It can be difficult, especially when it is so common for people with vaginas to have been conditioned, you know, women to have been conditioned to fake orgasms because we're frightened that a male partner will be offended or become aggressive if we say that we didn't come or we're not able to come. So it can be a difficult path when you have spent potentially years pretending to come or actually telling your partner that you've been orgasming when you haven't. But I think it is very worth having this conversation to kind of go, look, this isn't, or even if it's not that you admit that you've been sort of lying for years, you might just say, you know what, this isn't actually quite working for me. Could we try this other thing? Or when you do this, I really love that. Or I've been trying this out on my own and I really enjoy this. Could we try this? You know, that there's a lot of ways that you can just sort of redirect the focus away from what has been.
I just blame you. Listener, I would say, look, I was listening to Rachel Cook on the Jennifer Zamparelli show and she said fingering is making a comeback. So we should make it fingering month. And just focus on that.
I'm going to do some t-shirts and I would just say, if you have any complaints, I don't want them. Just feck off. But otherwise, you can blame me. Go for it.
Amazing. Well, listen, very informative. I'm sure you've helped a lot of people today. As always, Rachel Cook, thank you so much. I'll chat to you next week, okay?
Talk to you, Jen.
Thanks, love. That is Rachel Cook, our psychotherapist, a sex therapist and mental health consultant. She is amazing. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook. There's an E on the end of her name. And you can ask her anything. Ask her anything. You can just email us and we'll put it to her in her sex therapy session. And it's free. Isn't that deadly? Jen at rte.ie. You can get them into me and I'll put them to her next week.
Jennifer Zamparelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.